Are you ready? It's Saturday morning at Yahoo Sports Radio. Welcome to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon and powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance.
The golf doctor, Charlie Epps, is in. The man who coaches PGA stud, Angel Cabrera.
Follow the golf doctor on Twitter, at the golf underscore doctor.
Doctor, the golf doctor is in on Yahoo Sports Radio right now. With Charlie Epps, here's your host from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio. It's our very own scratch golfer, sort of.
Hey, I should have stayed home and played with myself.
John Granato.
Welcome in to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour live from the Quicken Loans studios here in the Gow Building in Houston, Texas. John Granato with you. Charlie Epps is here as well. As we experience all kinds of weather throughout the state of Texas, it slowed things down yesterday at the Dean and DeLuca at the Colonial Country Club. And now see if they're getting back underway on the course. Starting, Charlie, 7:40 tee times last night. I don't know if I've seen that before, or at least too often.
Well, yesterday, Friday, they had a 5.5-hour rain delay, and the forecast for the weekend was better, but they try to get as much golf as they can in on any one day when there's sunshine. And last night they started at 7:40 and played until 8:30.
And
a couple guys. So they're back out on the golf course this morning. They'll try to get the second round finished, and then they'll start this afternoon and try to get caught up. But it's been quite a spring with all this rain, especially here in Texas.
Oh, my goodness. We got hit hard yesterday, and we can't have a prettier day today. And speaking of prettier, let's bring in your cohort and co-host on the show, Billy Harmon, with us here on the Charlie Epps and Billy Harmon Golf Hour. What do you say, Billy?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
We're doing great. Great to have you here. Man, we had some torrential storms yesterday. That was something. But we got us a good day today. Hopefully, we'll have a good day in the Fort Worth area, too, Bill.
Well, you know, where I come from, I don't see rain very much. So the rain's a little bit welcome for me, but I doubt it's very welcome for you guys down here in Houston.
Man, we've had some kind of spring with the floods, and it just won't stop. And we had more yesterday up north, so hopefully, we've had enough. The golf courses have had enough. Boy, we want to talk about some problems, guys, with golf down here. Charlie, you can speak to this. A lot of courses with the silt and are not open for a while, and then we got more storms coming in here. You know, rain is great for the golf courses, but enough is enough, isn't it?
Well, sure, and it causes a lot of damage. And I'm involved with a golf course called Longwood, and it was underwater. The whole golf course was underwater and suffered almost $500,000 in damage, and plus you lose all your revenue. So golfing is kind of like being a farmer. You know, you're living off the land, and if Mother Nature doesn't treat you correctly, business kind of gets lost in the shuffle. But we'll come out of it. And up here at Colonial, all the golf courses drain better, and they're going to have a good day of golf.
And we got Jordan Spieth playing well, Charlie, which is nice to see after he fell apart again last week in Irving at Las Colinas in the final round. It just wasn't very Jordan-like. But we see now there's a couple rounds this year. You think, is this starting to get in his head a little bit?
You know, I sat and watched him yesterday after the round, and he comes in and sits down with his mom and dad and his sister, and he's not panicking. It doesn't. I think he understands the game of golf. You're going to have things like this, and he's a 22-year-old young man, and he's learning every golf round he plays on the PGA Tour. And if you take his body of work so far, 7 victories, 2 majors, you know, he's going pretty good.
Absolutely. But what about these last couple of rounds, Bill? And we see a guy who's emotional, and I think that my buddy's even said it to me. He looks like he's so much more emotional right now in these final rounds when he's messing up. Good thing or bad thing?
Well, you know, I think last week he didn't have his best stuff, kind of like he didn't have his best stuff at Augusta, and he was hanging on. But he's got some really good stuff going right now. I thought he played absolutely beautiful yesterday. I watched the round really from start to finish, and he had a lot of really good iron shots. I know, Charlie, you were out there, and the wind was swirling enough that you had to control your trajectory and the distance, and Jordan really hit a lot of beautiful shots. So it looked to me like whatever he and his team are working on, they've hit on something here in the last week, because I thought he looked beautiful yesterday.
You know, there's every type of personality out here, and I remember guys like Lanny Watkins. Lanny Watkins didn't like bad shots. Curtis Strange really was another guy, Bill, and you were around them all the time. And some of the guys wear their emotions on the sleeve. I think Jordan is that type of person, but he's pretty much under control. Walks off the golf course. He leaves it on the golf course. I saw a little temper tantrum yesterday from the new young guy, the amateur DeChambeau, which was really surprising. He was really mad in the, you know, in the parking lot. I thought he was going to, you know, take his car and throw it. I mean, hot. I don't know what the heck happened, but emotions are there, and I think Jordan is just working through some learning curves. And you're right, Billy. Yesterday was a challenging afternoon with the wind and the pin placements, and he put a good number up on the board.
Absolutely.
Well, DeChambeau missed his fourth straight cut is what happened. And, you know, after he played well at Augusta and Hilton Head, sometimes when you're playing good, you think golf is easy, but the tour is really hard at the best players in the world. And if you don't play good, you're missing the cut, basically. And that's what he's finding out. And he's not used to failing like this. I bet in his wildest dreams he never thought he'd miss four straight cuts after finishing third or fourth at Hilton Head. I guarantee he never thought that was possible.
Yeah, he shot 73 yesterday. Plus three will not make this cut. Right now it's projected at plus one. So it doesn't look like Bryson DeChambeau. And he's gone about it. You know, that when Tiger came out, he came in at the end of the year and, you know, he started winning tournaments right away. I think Bryson DeChambeau thinks, you know, he's going to come in here and get his card right away. Like you said, Bill, that's not the case. The guy, I don't know about a beautiful, but he's got so much talent. It's a weird swing from, you know, what we're used to. It's not anything like what we're used to, but he can just flat out play. And if he doesn't get his card now, he's going to have to go down and go through the web.com.
Sure, that's the process right now. There's no tour school anymore for the regular tour. You go to the web.com and earn your way, and I think it's a good way. There's a lot of good guys, starting with Zach Johnson, that went that direction. They went down there and won, and they've been very successful on the PGA Tour.
Yep. I know that's been a sore spot with a lot of people on the tour. I know our good friend Bruce Davidson has a differing opinion on that, but that looks like it's going to happen. Now, I would imagine Bryson DeChambeau, like you said, Bill, probably thought, well, I'm just going to go out there and get my card.
Well, I think sometimes if you come out and you have success early, you might think it's a little bit easier than it really is. And the fact of the matter is, I think it was Jay Haas told me one time, you got 50 players playing really good, you got another 50 that are real close to playing good, and the other 50 just don't have it. But that means you got 100 of the best players in the world that are playing pretty good that week. And if you're a little bit off, these people are going to run you over. This isn't a college tournament now. This is the PGA Tour. And he's a marvelous talent, a wonderful player, but maybe this might help him, Charlie, to eat a little bit of humble pie.
Everybody has to go through it. Every player on the PGA Tour has to learn that way, and it's good for him. You got that right. But you guys got, you know, there's guys like Patrick Reed that hasn't been playing very good, all of a sudden has a good week, and Jason Duffner and Tony Finau, Harrison. You know, there's always 25 guys to replace the guys that are struggling. I know Ángel Cabrera. We're really struggling, and I say we're because I'm having a hard time deciding how I can help him get out of this slump that he's in, and he's really having a big problem making birdie putts. He's making par putts, but he can't make birdie putts, and it gets into your head, and you get negative, and you get down on yourself, and you got to be able to bring yourself back and start each day anew. And I'm not having too much fun out here watching him shoot 75.
No, that's not too much fun. Tony Finau, as a matter of fact, since you brought him up, he says he's a product of Tiger Woods. Aren't a lot of these young players, Bill, a product of Tiger Woods?
Well, for the most part, we're looking at a super power game. Jordan Spieth was hitting the hell out of it yesterday, too, by the way.
Oh, he was long.
And very long. Very long. This Finau has got a beautiful little swing. For a guy his size, he's got kind of a short, crisp action. And by all accounts, a hell of a nice kid, too. I don't know him, Charlie. Do you?
Yes, I do. And he is a nice kid. And he's got 124 miles an hour club head speed.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour,
featuring Bill Harmon
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
All right, back here in Houston, John Granato, Billy Harmon, Charlie Epps with us as well. I'm watching the Golf Channel BMW PGA Championship. Danny Willett with the lead, the Masters champion. Guys, what are we expecting out of Danny Willett after his Masters? We expecting him to take off, become one of the world's best. We expecting him to fall into relative anonymity, like might be a Mike Weir or Y.E. Yang, who's up there now after his major. Not much afterwards. Bill, what are you expecting out of Danny Willett?
I think he's good. I like his action. He's got a lot of energy, that's for sure. But I think he really looks like a good player. You know, he was leading the Open Championship at St. Andrews last year for at least a couple rounds. Even though he played poorly last week in the last group with Rory, the Irish Open, he was right there in the last group on Sunday, and he's back in the last group now. So, no, I don't think he's a one-hit wonder at all. I think he's a very, very good player, and I like his swing. I think he's got a little action at the ball. What do you think, Charlie?
Well, I think his to this point, his golf has been good. Now how he embraces all the time off the golf course, being a major champion, will only time will tell. But you're right to point out Y.E. Yang and Mike Weir. Sometimes that stardom is really heavy. But his action, like Billy says, is really pretty solid, and he has a little attitude about him. So he'll be good. He'll be good, but I don't know if he'll be great.
Yeah, I don't know how many Masters champs have tats like he does. And I noticed under his sleeve there, he had a bunch. He had a few tattoos. I think he may be one of the few, one of the proud Masters champions with tattoos. What was going on this week at the BMW, Charlie?
Well, the BMW has really been hurt by the big stars not showing up, starting with Rory McIlroy. There's a lot of guys here playing at Colonial that should be over playing in Europe. You know, Oosthuizen and the South African guys, they just dislike that golf course. And Ernie Els is going to redo it again one more time. But the BMW, that tournament is the biggest tournament on the European Tour, and a lot of their stars are not playing. And some of the guys are really upset about it. Colin Montgomery, for example, he can't explain why they would not show up for this great event in England.
Well, if they don't like that golf course doesn't suit them, then, you know, that players are going to stay. They got options now. What do they think of a Colonial, Charlie? I played there last year, as a matter of fact, and I don't know. I don't for a PGA event. I know it's in great shape right now. It wasn't when I played it. But what do the players think of Colonial?
Colonial is one of those classic golf courses that has just such a great flow to it, and the angles have to be, you know, off the tee, trying to hit the greens. It's really a challenge for these players to play it, and that's why they call it Hogan's Alley. I mean, it has stood the test of times. It's like a course like Wingfoot, Baltusrol. It just has a look to it that the players like to really play the golf course.
Bill, what do you remember of Colonial?
Kind of what Charlie said, but I wonder, I haven't been there in a long time, with the advance in equipment and the ball going farther, are some of the dog legs maybe a little bit in awkward places for the players, would you say, Charlie, almost too short? Relative to what it used to be when we were hitting wooden clubs?
Yes, there's that problem, but they've been able to lengthen it in certain holes, like 14, 3 and stuff like that. And the golf course plays sneaky long. The par 3s are long and challenging because the green complexes, the greens are small. And, you know, you got to be, you know, a pinpoint iron player. So you can see the different, you know, winners of this event. But the players and the hospitality at Fort Worth, and the, you come and have, see the Museum of Hogan, and a lot of guys enjoy playing it. So, but now the sponsor is kind of unique, Dean and DeLuca. It's kind of, I'm not sure what that's all about, but, you know, it's just a grocery, fancy grocery store, but they're putting up the money, and the players are going to play for it.
Well, it's a northern grocery store, and it's coming down to the Dallas area, so that's why they wanted to. They put their name on it long term, and they want to get their name, the brand out there, and it's a pretty good way to do it.
Yeah, six year contract, so onward and upward.
Grocery store like a Kroger or a...
They don't have a great field either by nature, do they, Charlie, this week? Obviously, you got Jordan Spieth, but a lot of the better players aren't there again.
Well, they're either Europe or they're taking it off, getting ready for Memorial next week. Most of the guys make sure they put Memorial on their calendar because of Jack Nicklaus and the type of golf course it is. So, you know, when you have 47 tournaments a year, you got 44 major tournaments a year. Players can only play in between 20 to 25. There's certain tournaments they gotta, you know, not play in. So that's life on the PGA Tour.
And I'm sure watching a 5-hour rain delay didn't bother them not playing at all, did it? That's a long, when you got that late afternoon tee time and you got to sit around till 7 o'clock or 7:30, play a hole and then get up and come and play. That's probably a little aggravating for the players, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But it's really, really supported well by the spectators. They were here late last night. So, but yeah, the players get a little antsy hanging around the locker room in the delays. New Orleans was the worst this year. They had, you know, 3 days where you really didn't play golf. So you just gotta be patient. You know, it's not like playing in a dome.
We're seeing Webb Simpson a little bit more this year, guys. Billy, what he disappeared for a while, and now he seems to be back. He's at the top while he's not, you know, winning tournaments, but he seems to be competing again.
Yeah, well, this appears to be his first good week in a while, but it'll be interesting to see how he performs this weekend because he's kind of hasn't been around for the last year and a half or so. Wonderful guy. A lot of energy, got kind of a short, quick swing and things like that, and it'll be interesting to see. But it's funny, when he's one of those guys, when he's on, he seems to be able to handle it.
Where'd he go?
You know, he and his wife just had another child. They've had like 3 children in the last 4 years, and, you know, that takes a lot of time, and he's a devoted family man, and that takes away from his practice time. So those are all, you know, when you look at Jack Nicklaus's career, his years changed depending on when his children were born. And that happens to a lot of the fathers out here. You know, the LPGA tournament tour, the ladies have to take a lot of time off. So sometimes there's interference rather than just their golf game. It's commitments to their family.
All right, Charlie, we know you got to go. You got an important commitment that you've got to get to. And we certainly can't blame you for that. Billy is going to be here with us. Before you go, Charlie, any scuttlebutt about the Olympics out there on the tour? Guys complaining, guys maybe saying, I'm not sure I want to do this thing?
No, you don't hear too much conversation on that. It's kind of low-key. You hear some commentaries from some, you know, the broadcasters. But the players themselves, I don't hear much conversation about it.
Nothing.
I know the Argentine team is getting ready to go, and they're not worried about the Zika virus. But
right.
I can understand it.
Out of time. Charlie, we'll talk to you again next week, buddy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
So, Charlie had to go. He had to leave his own show at halftime, Bill.
What's new?
So it's me and you the rest of the way here.
We know he's listening, John, right now. Yeah, we know he's listening.
We know, and we know he knew he was going to get a shot, and he took it well, I would imagine.
Yes, he did. He always does.
Yeah. Here's the Bill, I wasn't here last week. My daughter graduated from high school and heading on to college, so I wasn't here last week. I got to ask you, and there's been a lot of talk about this, is the Tiger's shots into the water, 100 yards out, 102-yard shot, and I know he didn't warm up. I know that, you know, he's still, you know, recovering. He's stiff, he said, and all that stuff. But do you know a tour player that couldn't step up and in three shots hit a green from 100 yards away?
Well, I think I give him a total pass on this, to be honest with you. I think when you have a bad back, I tell a story that years ago I was working for my brother Craig at Oak Hill Country Club in Rochester when they had the 89 U.S. Open there. And at the time, Jack Nicklaus was working for ABC, and he came in 2 or 3 weeks before the tournament to play the course, so he had a little more knowledge when he was announcing. And as you know, Jack had a bad back, and he laid down in the locker room for over an hour doing exercises before he could go out and hit any balls. So when I saw Tiger's performance here, I don't know, it just reminded me of Jack that day. So I think if you've come off three surgeries, you've got a terrible back, you have no chance to warm up. Butch said he should have hit an 8-iron. Just hit it into the back bunker, but
yeah.
I don't make anything out of it other than the fact that I think we're looking at a Tiger Woods who is probably, I'm sorry to say, maybe 50% of what he used to be, John.
Yeah.
Which is really sad. Really, really sad, I think.
50.
I felt sorry for him because I don't think it was indicative of anything other than the fact that he's not well and he didn't have a chance to warm up. And I think it's really sad. I think we're looking at a guy that was, you know, arguably the best player that ever lived, who's now maybe it's 50% of what he used to be, and that's really sad.
Yeah, and when we did see him last, though, Bill, he was chunking it, he was blading it, you know, around the greens. He, you know, although, you know, like you said, the bad back and that, his swing looked pretty good. I mean, he was fluid and everything else, but he just came up short. But we saw a guy that was hesitant and unsure of himself, and that's never been what Tiger was. Have you changed your thought on whether or not it's hard to doubt Tiger, but I think I've changed my thought. I don't know that I'll ever see Tiger win another tournament.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll ever see him play in another tournament. You know, that's the part that I think is scary to me, that I don't know a whole lot. You know, he and his camp don't give us a lot of information. You know, I've been told by somebody kind of in the know that maybe he's got some nerve damage there. Nerve damage is harder to really regulate. And, you know, he's just not well. And he hasn't been well for a while. And, boy, this is a hard game to play if you're healthy. And what's he had his third back surgery in a pretty short amount of time, and knee surgeries and things like this. And I don't know why I was thinking this morning that maybe he's 50% of what he once was physically. And if that's the case, how could he possibly perform in a sport where you need to use your whole body?
Yeah. You know, and I mentioned Tony Finau. He said he was a product of Tiger Woods. I would imagine that all of these young men that are coming up now, we're going to see an entire generation that, you know, emulated that guy when they were on the golf course.
Which might be his greatest contribution to the game, is that he raised the standard to a level that everybody had to come get him. And he made, John, you've seen this in other sports, he made the sport better. He made the other players better because of his excellence. And I think, you know, you could say that about a Hogan, a Snead, a Jack, and guys like that. The imprint or the footprint that they left on the sport wasn't just their record. I think it's the effect that they had on the other players, and they forced the other players to get better. And to be honest with you, I think they have gotten better because of Tiger Woods. So Tiger's done an awful lot for the game in many different areas, and I just think it's sad. I felt sorry for him watching him hit those shots in the water. I just something about it. It looked to me like Willie Mays running around in circles trying to catch a fly ball at Shea Stadium.
Yep. Well, and that was what I was going to ask you, too, is that it's funny you bring that up. You know, when I was a kid, you know, we'd emulate Willie Stargell's bat waggle, you know, and
sure.
and Pete Rose's, the way he crouched over and everything else. Did when you were coming up, did you have anybody that you emulated with the golf swing?
I wouldn't say with the golf swing, but I loved the way it looked when Arnold took his glove out of his pocket, off his hands when he putted and put it in his back pocket and had the kind of fingers hanging out. So that was about the only thing I ever really emulated. I liked the way that looked.
The way that he took his glove off.
Just the way he took his glove off and put it in his back pocket, I thought it was pretty cool.
Well, he was the king. He was the king, wasn't he? That was a guy that he changed the game just like Tiger did, didn't he?
That's exactly right. He certainly did.
Yeah,
no doubt about it.
Yeah, and then Jack. I was always an Arnie guy more than I was a Jack guy when Jack came up. What about you?
I became a Jack guy for some reason.
Yes.
Because I just couldn't believe how good he was under the gun and how composed he was, and he just had the ability to kind of hyper focus and to tune everything out, and so I just never saw anybody like him. I still have never seen anybody like Jack, to be honest with you. Although he and Tiger were both power players, I think they run about the game a little bit differently. But Jack could really dissect the course. And Jim Colbert said one time that Jack Nicklaus was so good, a one-shot lead was a big lead to him.
That's true. That is true.
He played. Was a big lead for Jack Nicklaus, a one-shot lead.
He plays a game I am not familiar with.
That's correct.
That is right. Bill has been playing pretty well, Bill Haas. And, you know, and I was watching him a little bit this weekend, Bill, or this week, Bill. How do you get ready? What's the plan? Do you know what he's how do you get ready for, or how did he in the past? And now we're just a few weeks away from the U.S. Open. What are the guys doing?
Well, Bill hasn't had a great record in the majors, which is probably the big blemish on his resume at the moment. I think his best finish ever is 12th in a major championship. So he hasn't played well in majors, and I'm not too sure I know why, to be honest with you. I think he's tried different preparations. I think he's gone in early. He's gone in late. I think he's tried a lot of different things. He's played Oakmont. In the U.S. Amateur, I believe he played there. I think if you're going into an open and you're not playing good, that's when it's really a struggle. Oddly enough, he didn't have a good tournament at the Players' Championship, but he said he played really good. He just had to clean up some things, and it looks like he's playing pretty decent this week. So he likes Memorial. He's always played pretty good there. He and his dad like the look of Memorial. So maybe if he can have a solid weekend and have a solid tournament at Memorial, he can go into the U.S. Open with a little more giddy up. He's had a little bit of an indifferent year, not a bad year by any stretch. He's lost in that playoff to Schwartzel at the Innsbruck this year, where Schwartzel played the last six and 400 at Payam. But I think if you ask him, I think he needs to get in the hunt and finish off some tournaments and get on a little streak here of having a chance on Sunday. I think he's probably frustrated he hadn't given himself enough chances this year.
Right, on Sundays. Because, yeah, he's thrown some really good rounds in there. And like you said, just hasn't been able to finish it off. And I would imagine now, you know, as he gets it, you know, a little bit older, every major gets that much more pressurized because, you know, he wants it that bad, wants to get that monkey off the back, and we'll see if he can't, you know, if he can't do that at Oakmont. Taking a break, our final segment coming your way next on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour,
featuring Bill Harmon
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
All right, our final segment here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance right here on the Yahoo Sports Radio Network. Billy Harmon with us here. Charlie Epps had to go. He was in Fort Worth, coming back here to see little Charlie play ball. Little Charlie could play some ball, as we understand it. So he's coming back to see him play, which is awesome. Watch your grandkid play. In the meantime, we're manning the ship here. And, Bill, I don't know if you guys talked about it. I wasn't on last week. I don't know if you talked about the PGA possibly looking into starting its own network. You know, you got the NBA and the NFL and MLB. They all have their own networks. PGA didn't have that forethought years ago, and the Golf Channel stepped up and pretty much took over. And they worked out a deal that the PGA has locked into with no opt-outs through 2021. So that's a little ways off here if the PGA wants to do something. And on top of that, Golf Channel is now owned by Comcast. So if you try to screw Comcast, you're not going to get on any of their cable networks when you start your own channel. So, I mean, so they're in between a rock and a hard place. And I think part of this is because they really didn't have the forethought that the other leagues might have had.
Well, it sounds very complicated, doesn't it?
Yep.
And it is 5 or 6 years away, so I guess a lot of things could happen. The first thing that came to my mind when I heard it, what would happen to the Golf Channel, you know, if they had their own channel? Would that greatly compromise their work? I don't know. I don't know really what to think of this. I'm kind of laid up these days, so I'm watching a lot of Golf Channel on TV, so I'm watching a lot of golf. But I don't know. I don't know what to say about them having their own channel. I really don't.
What do you think of the way that the Golf Channel does it?
I think they have a hard job doing golf 24 hours a day. I think I like the telecast of the tournaments. Right now I'm watching the BMW. I watched a little bit of the ladies last night, and, of course, all the Colonial. I like watching golf on TV. I think the other shows, and I think the Morning Drive show is a difficult show to kind of hold its own 2 or 3 hours of golf every single day. You have to almost make up things to talk about. So I think golf 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is not an easy endeavor, to be honest with you, to keep people interesting. They have Michael Breed and Martin Hall who do a wonderful job for the job that they have to do. A lot of people don't realize how hard it would be to put on a show once a week on golf instruction, because the golf swing takes less than a second and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So to come up with something an hour every week to talk about something that takes a second and a half isn't that easy. So I don't know. I think on the whole they do a very good job. But for me personally, I very rarely watch anything other than Golf Central or the tournaments.
How much of the women's college tournament did you watch?
I watched it all, and I thought the final match was one of the most riveting things I'd ever seen. And it was pretty much that way last year. The men and the women, the men's final wasn't as good, but getting to the finals was good. I have found, I know a lot of people don't like the match play format. I have found it to be riveting TV for the NCAA, and I thought last week's Washington-Stanford match was, you couldn't have written the script. The people chipping in on the last hole, and just wonderful golf, phenomenal golf, really.
Really, I watched. I didn't see that. I was watched a lot of the stroke play heading into it, and a lot of my buddies were, "What is wrong with you? You're watching college golf, women's golf."
Yeah.
And yet it was, and the ebb and flow and how it changed. And we were rooting for Oklahoma State to get there, and the group she fell apart on 18. And
oh, that was so sad watching that.
Well, it was unbelievable.
God, it was sad.
Yeah. So
but even in the finals. There was a young girl for Washington that had about a 30-footer on the last hole and two putts to win the NCAA title. It was that cut and dry, and she left it about 6 feet short, and she missed it. And then she went into a playoff for the NCAA title, and she missed the fairway and laid up something about 70 yards from the green, so
coming off the three putt, if she doesn't get this thing up and in, they're going to lose. She was a freshman too, and she wedges it about a foot from the hole.
Yeah,
so to come back from that three putt and on the very next hole hit a shot like that is about an 18-year-old girl. All the whole thing riding on the line was terrific stuff.
What do you think about the, and Bruce has talked about this plenty, is that Title IX has been detrimental to golf in that the women don't, you know, there are so many scholarships out there that you can be a mediocre player and you don't really have to work all that hard. What did you think about the quality of play?
I thought it was fantastic. I couldn't believe some of the shots that they pulled off under that kind of duress. The Washington team had three freshmen on it. They played like veterans. I thought both teams played good. I think the Stanford coach, I read she was quoting, say, we didn't lose this thing. Washington won. It was great for college golf. And I enjoyed watching it. I think it's great. I happen to enjoy watching match play. And when you're looking at these little kids playing for a national championship and it's coming down to them, boy, that's. I don't know if there's any more pressure than that, to be honest.
Yeah, it's on TV and for the Nationals, it's your a team thing, which is
teenagers.
Why. Yeah, that Oklahoma State thing was just so terrible because she lost. You know, they didn't get in because the team didn't get in. I'll tell you, we got to watch this Virginia Elena Carta. She can play.
There's a lot of good young players, is what you see when you watch this NCAA, and it just shows you how hard it is to get on tour, and then more importantly, stay on tour.
Yeah. Yep. Well, we're done, Bill. Man, we appreciate it. We will talk to you again next week, pal.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
For Charlie and Billy, I'm John. Have a great golf week, everybody.